God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus tells all of us baptized believers, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. So what's he getting at? Salt seasons, salt preserves, salt purifies, salt heals. And salt oftentimes works hiddenly. You don't need a lot of salt to make a big difference. Just sprinkle a bit here and there, and the whole dish is seasoned. Now, let's be clear. You and I are not the main dish. The main dish is Jesus crucified for sinners and risen again for the life of the world. That's the main dish. This is the good news that you and I were salted with in baptism, and which makes us to be the salt of the earth. So to speak, we're salt shakers, scattered by Jesus throughout the earth, seasoning, preserving, purifying, and healing our little corner of the world with the main dish of Jesus' death and resurrection. If you lose Jesus, you lose your saltiness, which makes you pretty much useless. And if we lose Jesus' death and resurrection for the justification of sinners, then we're left with nothing more than bland religion, and we're salt that has lost its saltiness. Paul knew he could pack people in with displays of power and eloquent speech. He knew his audience, what his audience wanted. Jews demand miracles. Greeks seek wisdom. But Paul delivered neither. He said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. That's the main dish. That's the main dish to be forgiven. That's the main dish to be saved. Why? Paul tells us why. So that your faith may not rest on man's wisdom, but on the power of God. Salt must never take over the main dish. And Jesus' death and resurrection for sinners is the main dish. When we draw attention to ourselves instead of Christ and him crucified, we're no longer being the salt of the earth. We're no longer preserving and purifying and healing with Christ's forgiving blood. When the church draws attention to herself, when pastors become the center of attention, when people become married to church buildings and programs, rather than to the good news, Christ died for all, then the church will lose its saltiness and only fit to be trampled on underfoot. One of the reasons the church is declining is because the church in many ways has lost its saltiness. The death and resurrection of Jesus for the justification of the sinner often takes a back seat to the latest program or gimmick or fad or entertainment. But in order to be the salt of the earth, we need to give out the seasoned dish of Jesus' forgiving death and victorious resurrection to sinners. That's how we salt the earth, by letting others in on the good news that Jesus' death and resurrection is for them also. We salt, preserve, purify, and heal the world by giving them the main dish of Jesus. Secondly, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are a light shining in a very dark world. And it's getting darker, and biblically it's going to keep getting darker. However, we are not the light, with a capital T, like the light of the sun or the light of a star. We're more like the moon. We reflect the light of the sun. In this case, the sun being Jesus. John 1 says, the true light that gives light to all mankind was coming into the world, referring to Christmas. And the light doesn't originate with us. We are the light of the world, but in a derivative sense. That is, we reflect the true light. We reflect the light of the Son of God who shed his blood for all mankind. John 1 tells us that the true light is none other than Jesus. It says, in him, Jesus was life. And that life is the light of all mankind. Otherwise, without Jesus, we're all just living in darkness, speaking darkness, hearing darkness. It's total darkness. And the light shines, meaning Jesus, into the darkness of this world marred by sin and death. And the darkness has not overcome the light. Jesus, the light, overcame sin, death, hell, and devil. So what do you do with light? Well, generally speaking, you get rid of darkness. You dispel darkness by letting the light shine or by turning on the light. You don't hide the light. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, you put it on a stand so everyone can see the light. In this case, so everyone can see the light of life, which is Jesus Christ, even in the darkness of our sin and death. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Just like you can't hide a city on a hill, you can't hide baptized believers. You are the light of the world. Whether you like it or not, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, whether you like it or not. And so you're either going to be who you are in Christ, or you will live against who you are in Christ. When Matthew 5 says, let your light shine before others, what it means is, let your Jesus shine before others. So that his light, the light of forgiveness, the light of life, the light of salvation, the light of heaven, the light of grace and mercy and joy and peace, will overcome the darkness of sin, death, hell, grave, and devil. This is both our status in Christ, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, and it is our marching orders. Now be who you are. Because if you insist on living against who you are, you may lose your saltiness, you may lose your light, and go back into the darkness of death. This message is sometimes hard for Lutherans because we always talk about how we believe, teach, and confess that we are justified by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, without works. And rightly so. That is the central doctrine of the Christian faith. But while we dare not forget that we are justified or declared righteous before God for the sake of Christ, nevertheless, before people, before family and friends and neighbors and co-workers, you name it, the light of Jesus' forgiving blood is to shine through our lives. Our acts of mercy, and our words of grace. Our works are the breath of faith. Our works are the exhaling of forgiveness that we inhaled from Jesus. 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. Ephesians 4, forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. 1 Timothy 1, for this reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the chief of all sinners, Christ might display his mercy to those who will believe in him unto eternal life. If we refuse to reflect Christ's love to unbelievers, if our faith doesn't breathe with acts of kindness, if we fail to show the mercy of Christ to those in need, we are putting a basket over the light of Christ. We are living against the status that God gave us to be, lights in a dark world, who are here to dispel the darkness, that God reconciled the world to himself by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. So how is it that you and I are the salt of the earth and the light of the world? You and I are living in a very dark world, and it's only getting worse. And I am convinced that the main reason that it is getting worse is because our society is turning away from Christ. We are losing Christ. It is the absence of Christ in people's lives, sometimes in Christians' lives, that is leading us to this despairing darkness we find ourselves in. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to give out the main dish of Christ's death and resurrection. We need to dispel the darkness with the light of Christ's forgiveness and life and salvation. But before we do that, we have a twofold message. We need to proclaim law and gospel. In other words, sinners, until they realize they need a Savior, they have no desire for a Savior. So we need to speak law. God's law says, love. The gospel says, loved. The law says, do. The gospel says, done. The law says, guilty. The gospel says, pardoned. The law says, forgive. The gospel says, forgiven. And on and on. The law says sick. The gospel says cured. The law says dead. The gospel says alive. First, we prepare the world for the main dish of Jesus and the light of his forgiveness. And then we salt and enlighten the world with the good news. The law is sort of like an X-ray, a CAT scan, an MRI, or a doctor's diagnosis that reveals what we would otherwise know, that we have a disease called sin and it is terminal. The gospel is then the cure, the medicine, or the remedy, even for a terminal disease, that not only has the power to cure your disease, but to take away all the consequences of death and hell. As a result, you and I are the salt of the earth, the light of the world in Christ, and we salt or enlighten the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. So what's our sin? Our sin is we oftentimes don't want to be a preserving, purifying, and healing influence in this world. And we don't want to be the light that rescues sinners from the darkness of sin, death, and hell. We often refuse to call sin, sin. And we refuse to share the healing medicine of the gospel. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But there's an even more subtle way that we refuse to be salt and light. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." So the question is, how do we relax God's commandments? We treat them like 10 suggestions. We water down God's word. We want to be politically correct, not politically incorrect. We don't want people to not like us. We don't want to lose our standing in the community. We don't want to upset family. So we live and act and speak as if there's no such thing as sin, as if the wages of sin is not death, and as if everyone's going to heaven. And then what we find is that both we and our own families are participants in the darkness of this world. This is how we relax the law. And God says, do not relax the law. This is what prepares people for the gospel. God says, don't water the gospel to little more than God is love and everybody's going to heaven. It's a half-truth. It's a truth that God is love, but it's only half the truth. He's also a judge of those who blow him off and blow off his son. And not everybody's going to heaven. The danger, as Jesus says, if salt loses its saltiness, that can happen in two ways. First of all, that you refuse to share the word. You refuse to share the main dish and the need for the main dish of Jesus, but you can also lose your saltiness by losing Jesus. And so, if salt loses its saltiness, it cannot be made salty again, and it's good for nothing except to be cast out and trampled on, which is actually a picture of hell. We live in a world where there's no such thing as sin in the minds of many, and it's infiltrating the church, let me tell you. It's infiltrating the church of all generations, but I especially see it in the younger people. The world considers it loving to not call sin sin. And many Christians do as well. And then we wonder, well, why is everybody sinning? Because nobody's calling sin sin anymore. That's the problem. The church isn't doing her job. So where do we find ourselves? Living together and having sex before marriage, isn't a sin because God is love. Changing one's gender that God gave you isn't a sin because God wants you to be happy. Living in a same-sex relationship isn't wrong because God is love. Rebelling against parents and authorities is perfectly pleasing in God's eyes. Blowing off worship and God's word doesn't matter because everyone's going to heaven. Worshipping sports, money, or pleasure isn't sinful. God wants you to be happy. And while all of this may sound very loving, what you've actually done, if you think about it, what you're actually doing when you say that none of these things are wrong, there's no such thing as sin, or even if you might in a tiny way want to call it sin, God is love and everyone's going to heaven. What you've actually done is you've actually told the sinner, and maybe even yourself, is that sinners don't need forgiveness and they don't need a savior. What we call loving is actually robbing people of salvation and sending them to hell. Is that how you want to love the world? If you belittle the seriousness of your sin or of other sin, because you're afraid to be politically incorrect. If you belittle the seriousness of sin, you also belittle the sacrifice of Christ, the depth of God's grace, and the infinite beauty of forgiveness. Think about that when you belittle sin. And the more you belittle sin, the more you belittle Jesus' death on the cross. And eventually, you reach a point where you don't need Jesus anymore. That's pretty much where we find our world today. For the last 50, 60, 70 years, we've been refusing to call things sinful in our culture and in our homes. And then we wonder why the world is in such a terrible strait. You don't want to belittle the depth of God's love for you. And to not belittle the depth of God's love, we need to rightly see our sin in all of its ugliness. Then you can see Christ in all of his beauty. Romans 5, even when we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. That's the message that will salt, preserve, purify, and heal the world and enlighten it. The truth is, God justifies our declares righteous, unworthy sinners only for the sake of Christ's perfect life and forgiving death. That's the main dish. Non-sinners don't need forgiveness or a savior. Only sinners do. So when we tell others that they're not sinners, sooner or later they're going to believe they don't need Jesus. And the church is getting everything upside down. The law tells us, God's law tells us, we are sinners. There's no one who doeth good and sinneth not. The gospel, but it is for sinners that the gospel has come in Christ. God proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The world prefers bland religion. You're okay, I'm okay, God is happy with everybody. The fact is, you're not okay, and I'm not okay, and nobody else in the world is okay, but we have a Savior who loves and died for those who are not okay. to make us okay in God's sight, that we might be children of God. The Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all, and by his stripes we're healed. This is what makes us salt and light. And the sweetness of the gospel is why we live like salt and light, to let the whole world know through acts of mercy and words of love that Christ died for all, and you're included. That's our message. That's our message to the world. That's the message that will change sinners' lives. That's the message that will change the world we're living in. The good news is you and I don't need, nor should we, relax the law. For the same God who tells us, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy, is the same God who tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, Christ has become our holiness. The same God who tells us in Matthew 5, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, is the same God who tells us in Romans 5. Therefore, since you have been declared righteous through faith in Jesus, we have peace with God, through whom we have gained access into God's grace in which we now stand. You and I have been salted and enlightened with the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. As a result, you are the salt of the earth that preserves, purifies, and heals by letting others know that God in Christ has forgiven every sin we ever did wrong. And you are the light of the world. So let your light shine by letting everyone know that they're included in the all-forgiving death, life-giving resurrection of Jesus.